We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Blue Wire.
NBA Most Valuable Player, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Giannis trailing the lob. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
2 seconds. Middleton. Yes! Chris Middleton.
Hey there, welcome to the Eurostep, a Milwaukee Bucks podcast, proudly a part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I am Ty Winnish. I am joined, as always, by the aggravated Rohan Kadi. Directly after the Milwaukee Bucks completely bungled a very winnable game against the Golden State Warriors. I don't know what the final score is off top. I know the Bucks lost. Rohan, I think I already know, but how's it going?
I've been better. Have been better. I think the final score was 122 to 121.
Well, so. TNT didn't know either, so I'm not going to feel that bad about it.
It's okay. TNT was like 5 seconds behind. I'm just happy they showed the game this time.
Yeah. Well, maybe it would have been better if they cut it off with about 4.5 minutes left when the Bucks were up by 10.
Yeah, but then we wouldn't get to see that beautiful display of basketball, tie from the Golden State Warriors, who I texted you. I said, it is the cast of the other guys. It's mind-boggling. Given Giannis did not play in this game, we should mention that. He missed his second straight game with a knee soreness. So take that as you will. We'll get into that in a little bit. But first, I want to talk about this game because it's fresh. It's very fresh. Ty, what did we just watch?
We watched just like one of the more classic, needlessly frustrating Bucks games of the Budenholzer era. I think what killed me is we're texting during the game. Some truly good stuff on display at times, coaching-wise, in this game. And I know we plan on talking, I think, a pretty good deal about Budenholzer, which I think to talk about the Bucks at large, you're going to really need to get there sooner or later, right? Like, clearly, every head coach is important. And I think more than many, Bud is important just because his, I don't know, I feel like, I don't know if every coach leaves as much of an imprint, a noticeable imprint on a team as Mike Budenholzer does, but like, I thought the trapping on Steph was good. He ends up with 41 points anyway, because he's Steph, of course, but I thought all game they trapped it and tried to make life hard for him. They didn't always succeed, but they tried. I thought that was pretty good. But the shot diet the Bucks took and just the amount of Brook Lopez we got in this game, just so frustrating. Just so frustrating. I mean, it felt like every possession he was on the floor, Brook Lopez ended up with the ball at some point. And like, not as like, you know, finishing a roll to the rim or something. Like, he catches it in the middle of the floor, posted up, and it's like the offense is orbiting around him like he's Giannis or freaking Nikola Jokic. It's like, why? Why is this happening? This doesn't need to happen. There are other players. Like, it's just, I don't understand why Brook Lopez was such a central figure in this game, but I know he certainly was, and not in a good way.
Yeah, we've seen this from this Bucks team in the past, where it's sort of, you see it, mostly with Giannis, I will say, where you see a rookie who's struggling and you're like, oh, food time. So that's what the Bucks probably understandably saw with James Wiseman, who I hate to rag on it, but he's been just downright terrible recently. he's been abysmal. He'll get better at it, I think, eventually.
It seems like it based on this game.
Yeah. So maybe that was the idea, like, oh, let's go and attack James Wiseman. But they even went to Brook Lopez with no James Wiseman on the court. The other possibility is we're starting to see, oh, the Bucks sort of like, let's get Brook going. Let's get Brook going again. We've seen them do that with multiple players, mainly Chris Middleton, I will say. Mainly Chris, when he gets into a slump, they'll sort of be like, okay, we're going to start force feeding him the ball, see what he can do, get into a rhythm. Doesn't really work with Brook Lopez. He's not a catch the ball and find his shots in rhythm type of player. That's just not who he is. He's not a wing. Like you said, he's not Nikola Jokic. It's just mind-boggling, the type of stuff we've seen. And then he comes up with what you think at the time is a game-saving block, and then does not get the rebound and fouls Kelly Oubre, which partially was on Chris muffing that rebound.
Did you grab it? His rebounding has been just atrocious. Atrocious. Grab the ball. You're 6'8".
Yeah. Yeah. You could say that for most players on the team, not named Dante and Pat, realistically.
And Bobby. But,
And Bobby.
Bobby, but yeah, Portis, it's just, it was just, rebounds, but yeah.
It was just a mind-boggling game. That's the phrase that you keep coming back to, what you say. I'm just extremely, I lost that game, Ty. I cannot believe they lost that game to the Warriors. If you are a team that is serious about your chances at winning a title, you need to win these games.
Yeah, it's that simple. It's that simple, especially when we've talked about a little bit, the first seed in the East this season is vital because it gets you out of playing both, presumably, given that they win their series, which they will, the Sixers and the Nets just to make the finals. And we all know that's feels like the benchmark, right? That's the uncharted territory, is getting to the finals. It's a lot harder if you have to go through the other two very good teams in the East. And if the Bucks keep losing games like this, they're probably going to have to do that. Philly won on Tuesday night, so they are getting back. It feels to me Philly probably going to end up getting the first seed. That's my take right now. I think Brooklyn is just not going to try. I don't think Brooklyn cares, but and they might just be good enough that they do anyway. But the way the Bucks play tonight, it doesn't feel like it's going to be them. That's for sure. I think two guys got up stocks from this game, Thanasis and Jeff Teague. Probably miss Portis. I think you could give him one too. I don't think anyone else was good enough. And it's a huge issue if Giannis's older brother, a buyout guy who was added 1 week ago and fresh off of a COVID absence, Bobby Portis, are the only three guys who show up against an NBA team that is literally Steph Curry and bums. That's it. Stephen A. Smith voice, bums. Like, they're not bringing it. Draymond Green is not Draymond Green anymore. He got outplayed by Thanasis. Kelly Oubre is like a prettier Tobias Harris. Like, this is not a skilled team going to the finals. This is like a team fighting to stay out of the play-in or maybe even get into the play-in. And the Bucks just, none of the key players showed up. And yes, Giannis was out. That's worth noting for sure. Chris and Drew and everybody else need to be able to handle a team like this Warriors team, especially just close it out up 10 with like 4.5 minutes left. They should be able to close out the game. They couldn't. It's just like disappointing. I mean, no, it doesn't mean their season is ruined or whatever else. Like it's one game. Even the standings part, there's 22 left or 22 left. It can be made up, but it's just disheartening to see. I mean, and I'm sure folks will say Drew had some huge moments. Chris had a huge third quarter. They combined for 13 turnovers. Drew especially was bad on the turnover front. The scoring was good. Drew at 29, Chris with 28, but they weren't able to score enough in those last few minutes to put the Bucks ahead, and their turnovers really spurred some Golden State runs. So it's not that they were terrible, but they certainly were not good enough given the team they're playing against, and it's a bummer.
I couldn't have said it better myself. It's just... There were times, a lot of times actually, you mentioned Drew's turnovers, where he was just getting his pocket picked. Like I'd never seen that before, given it's a small sample size relatively with him on the Bucks, but you just don't see that with a player like Drew Holiday. Chris Middleton is throwing inbounds plays with the game on the line just to no one.
Let's talk about it. Let's do it. Oh my God.
That might be, we've seen, I will say, it was not the let's give it to a double team Chris in the corner coming off a curl play. It wasn't that.
We don't know that. Chris inbounded. It could have been what was drawn up, and it just didn't work. We don't know that. True. Let's not stay with certainty that that wasn't the original plan.
It didn't look like it. It did not look like that.
No, it did not. I had to razz you. It didn't look like it.
But somehow, Ty, they managed to come up with a worse one.
Was it a worse play, or did it just not work?
Yes, it was. Did you see any motion in there?
No.
Like in sort of the front court or anything,
no,
you just saw Drew and Chris Xing on offense and just like off the ball and like, okay, let's throw it in between the two. I don't even know who that pass was meant for.
It was like Chris and Drew both threw some inexplicably bad passes in this game. And I want to get back to the
pass right to Andrew Wiggins.
I didn't understand. Like I really like they, I actually, I'm watching on my iPad. I had to rewind and like really put my face right up to the glass to see if it got tipped out because it just didn't make sense. But I think the Chris one is probably going to be the one that lives on beyond tonight the longest, just because it was literally on the game, the potential game winning play. And it, I need to rewatch it again. My memory is like he softly bowled it into play. And then somehow Drew ends up with it. And I'm like, oh, this could still go well. And then Drew passes it to Pat Connaughton, who, why ever? Why? And then Pat passes it over to Chris, who gets, for the second time that game, blocked by Andrew Wiggins. I don't know why he shot it like that. There was like 3 seconds left on the clock.
There was about four seconds, yeah.
Do because something.
Pat is attempting a putback contorted midair 180 with 3 seconds left.
I thought it was going to work too. Is the worst part.
I thought he was going to get the foul call. Honestly,
I didn't think they'd ever give him a foul. Not after some of the calls Steph got earlier. I didn't think the Bucks or Pat were going to get that call. But I just don't. None of it made any sense. And I think the part I'm maddest about, Drew, don't give it up, dude. Like, don't give it up. Just do it. Just go do it. Like never, ever, ever with 6 or whatever seconds left in the game, don't pass to Pat. Just don't do it, dude. Like just score.
It didn't even work the previous possession where he kicked it out to Pat for an open three. It didn't work.
Pat was Brick City. Pat built Fiserv 2 tonight with his performance.
He was still at Chase Center. Apparently is not finished yet. So
Reynolds. He and Brooke 0-for-8. The rest of the Bucks combined 14-for-24. Yeah, everybody else was lighting it up. Which begs the question, why are those two out there to close the game? Why are both of those players the only two guys?
Honestly, throw an Axel Toupon.
Let's save that for the very end. I have thoughts on Axel, but literally, here's the shooting numbers from three from every Buck who played. Chris 2-for-4, Portis 2-for-3, Drew 4-for-7, excuse me, Dante 2-for-6, Jeff Teague 2-for-2, Bryn Forbes 2-for-2. Tanasis didn't attempt. Good, probably good. Great game. We'll talk about Tanasis later too. Lopez and Pat both 0-for-4. Let's get them both out there and let's make sure they touch the ball like every single fourth quarter possession. Why? There's no need. You don't need to do this. Watch the Warriors, a team by their own people who cover them, Light Years Podcast here on the Blue Wire Network, maligned for not putting the ball in Steph's hands enough. It was in his hands enough in this game. I'll tell you that. He touched the ball enough. That's for sure. I don't, and I'm obviously, you know, the Bucks didn't have anyone that good tonight, and Steph is Steph, but they had like They had guys who could have been co-Steph, though. Like, they could have, in the aggregate, been that. And they put up the points. People say the raw points, sure. But, like, just the way they got there was so dumb. It was just dumb. It was dumb to have Pat Connaughton involved in that play and to run so much offense through Brook Lopez. And it's just, it cost them the game. This was a self-inflicted L. The Bucks had every reason to win. Yeah. Absolute choke job. Clown show.
Yes. It's more upsetting than it probably should be. Maybe more because I had to watch it.
not getting up the shot is what kills me. Like, if you miss the shot, that happens. You can't make all of them. Like, if Drew had missed a pull-up, or if Chris had actually gotten a look that didn't go off Andrew Wiggins' hand off.
Like, if you're getting blocked by Andrew Wiggins multiple times a game, it's time to hang it up.
Well, let's hope.
This is Andrew Wiggins!
He is athletic, at least. But, yeah, it wasn't
cool. Great. Name something else he does.
I know. I know. I know, Rohan. Can we pull up quarter by quarter stats yet, or do we not have that capability yet?
We do not.
Do we know how much Chris had in the third alone? Because I feel like it was
13.
Like,
I think.
Oh, it was just 13. Okay. So 13 in the
14,
third.
14. We 14. Do a quarter by quarter stats.
Oh, nice. So half of his total scoring output in that one quarter, and it's just the intensity. I feel like waned after that. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to be right in my take in the last pod that, in our take, I guess, that Chris is not the closer and Drew has to do it. This guy got stuffed by Andrew Wiggins on a play that could have won the game that he took way. He looked rattled. Like, he took the shot just way too early. It wasn't a good look. And the part I really didn't like is it didn't feel to me like a pull up either, or a catch and shoot either, right? Like, it didn't feel like, and again, I'd have to rewatch. This is probably a biased reimagining, but I didn't remember him like getting it and immediately pulling. He kind of got it. Yeah, he hesitated and then like pulled it like he had to. And it was like, do one or the other. Like, shoot it like a catch and shoot and get the shot off, or like do anything else besides what happened. What a frustrating.
Like, part of the problem with Chris, as always, is he just does not get into the flow of the offense.
Outside of the half of his offense, third quarter. Yeah.
Well, yeah. That's when he is the offense.
Right.
So I was noticing this a little bit during the game, and it really...
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Really reared its head during that last play. Whenever Chris catches a ball, this is a thought experiment for everyone who's listening. Next time you watch Bucks game, which is, I don't know, when is it, tomorrow? What, Thursday?
No, I think Thursday. I think they have a day off. Is it Thursday or Friday?
Sometime. They play the Mavs.
Okay, whichever. Go ahead.
Yeah. Watch Chris Middleton whenever he catches the ball. Does he immediately do something, or does he wait for a second and then think about it and then do it? Try and see how many times that Chris Middleton, immediately when he catches the ball, that he goes into something instantly versus other players. See how often they do it.
The economy is made up of real people doing real stuff, and it affects everything. Which you obviously know since you're a real person doing real stuff. Marketplace is here to help you get smart about everything beyond the what of the day's business and economic news. We dig into the how and the why with the real people driving our economy. From big tech and interest rates to small businesses and what's happening at the Fed, Marketplace breaks it all down so you don't have to. Listen to Marketplace wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a fun little experiment. We'll come back to it.
The one guy who doesn't pick up travels because he never goes too quick or quickly enough.
Yep.
It is Thursday.
Like Dante got a travel call for that today. Dante!
His like only
Dante's
turnover.
Moving fast.
His only turnover of the game. That might have been an unjust down stock. Solid game overall. 2-for-8, though. I don't want to get in the weeds on Dante. We've had enough Dante conversations. I'm still thinking about this last play. Why was Portis not out there for it in some way, shape, or form?
It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense at all. And this is just what we're stuck with. It really is. When have we ever seen... We've seen it probably like maybe one time where they actually close with the players who have been actually playing well. I think there was one game, I can't recall which game exactly, where they actually did close with Portis on the floor, even though Lopez was, you know,
but they won. I remember it, right? Yeah, it was yeah.
We were so happy about it. And we were thinking, oh, maybe this will be a thing. This was the perfect opportunity to do so. Bobby Portis was doing work. Whenever he starts for Giannis, it's like, oh, it's Bobby Portis time, quote Bobby Portis, but it's actually a good thing. It's like he's the one player where it's actually a good thing, other than maybe Drew Holiday.
Yeah. Well, so the closing five, it was the starters except Pat for Portis, right?
Yes.
So literally the three worst guys who actually took a three, the three worst shooters in this game were out there. Dante 2-for-6, and then the aforementioned Lopez and Connaughton both 0-for-4. So it's
okay,
like,
they might get hot. So, they might get hot with 7 seconds left in the game. Oh,
so three guys who are combined 2-for-14 are going to be out there, but not Portis, who's 2-for-3. Teague, who was 2. I would have been fine with Teague out there. Let's talk about
how times have changed in the last like week.
Let's lift our spirits and talk about Jeffrey Teague. I don't know what his middle name is. Jeff Teague, 16 minutes, 15 points, 5-for-7 from the field, 2-for-2 from deep, 3-for-3 from the line, 1 rebound, 3 assists, 3 fouls, no turnovers. They lost his minutes. That shows you how sad this game was. Teague balls out.
Or just
out.
How janky plus minuses.
Yeah, also true. Also true. But Jeff Teague,
because third. Pat was a +9.
Yeah, that's awful.
Drew was a -13.
Eight rebounds.
Single game plus minus is janky.
8 rebounds. Pat's still rebounding. But Teague, third leading scorer on the Bucks in this game. Drew.
What?
Chris Teague.
Oh my goodness, it's true.
Yeah. Led the bench in scoring. Only the two remaining of the big three players who played scored more than Jeff Teague. We've said it every time we've watched him play. He just looks good.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen him, like, what is this, game 3?
I believe this is 3. This is 3. I know he's played at least 2.
Yeah. It is. Yeah, it is game 3. He hasn't done anything really wrong yet, which is...
Sometimes he doesn't shoot when he should from 3, but I get it. Like, I think he's kind of feeling out his role, and I like that. Like, I don't want just another version of Bryn Forbes, right? Like, I want him to probe a little bit, and he's been successful, so I'm not that mad. But there's some times when he hesitates when I wouldn't. But otherwise, I'm picking nits. Largely, no.
Yeah. So he hasn't really done anything wrong yet, which is maybe the time will come. Maybe it's the new team high. You're actually playing for a good team sort of thing. I'll always make that joke. have to.
Yeah.
We might see a regression. I don't want to get our hopes high too much yet because... Right. There's still a chance. Otherwise, he's just the greatest buyout addition of all time, like at least in recent history. Because he's actually gonna have a role on this team. This is what we've talked about in relation to buyout guys, like a Ben McLemore who was rumored to be a target of the Bucks that came out today because he signed with the Lakers. I don't know what role he would have on this team. Jeff Teague, as a solid point guard, I guess, has a role on this team. He is the backup point guard, and he potentially could see minutes like with Drew. With
I don't know how he's not playing like a backup, man.
He's not. Again, small sample size. This is game three. However, there is realistically an avenue for him to close games.
If there's a coaching change, maybe. But
I mean, what? This is Mike Budenholzer, though.
Good point. That's a great counter. That is a great counter. That is.
It's Jeff Teague and Mike Budenholzer. Anything is possible. Why do you think he's on the team?
You know, all great points. Maybe the starting lineup never really matters that much. There's going to have to be a reckoning with the closing lineups, with just the way Dante and Brooke have played. And I think there's been highs for both this season, more so for Dante, for sure. But just consistently, they're not good enough. And I don't, there's very, very few circumstances where I trust either or both of them to close games. And it's just like, that's just very troubling, right? Like, they're starters, they're big minutes players. Brooke is one of the higher paid. Dante, not yet, but eventually they're probably going to give him a bag. And you look at the numbers, and they're like, fine.
That just scared me.
Yeah, I know, right? I don't even want to think about Dante contracts right now. But it's one of those things where, like, if you look at the numbers, you're like, oh, it's probably fine. They're shooting threes better than last year. Dante still at 38%, not counting tonight's game. Brooke up to 34 after like 29 or whatever it was last year. But they're just so inconsistent, and it's just an issue. Brooke is just like, the decision-making isn't there and the impact isn't the same. Dante, it's like, oh my God, like the minute-to-minute shift in Dante play quality can just be astounding.
And we'll see lapses on offense and then just incredible, like, plays on defense. And it's like, that's sort of why you keep him in there, which is why I'm more worried about Brooke than Dante. Because with Dante, you do have immense, immense upside. If he's clicking on, because we haven't really seen, aside from a few botched plays here and there where he goes for steals.
That immediately popped
in my head. Shout out, what's his name? What's that guy's?
I can't remember.
Why can't I remember what his name is? He plays for the Sixers. Korkmaz.
Oh, yeah. Always Korkmaz. For some reason, yeah. I was thinking Knicks. I don't know what was going on in my head. But yeah, you're right, Korkmaz.
Yeah, that gamble for a steal.
I tweeted, you got to be freaking kidding me.
Yeah, there you go. That's a solid pun.
Yeah, I've used it like 1,000 times. Go on.
But yeah, you see there's immense, immense upside on the defensive end. And that's his more consistent output. Is that he's going to be a high activity, high level defender. It's the offense that worries me, but him being a high impact defender is why he's been starting, which is why he fits well with the starting group. Because with the starters, you don't really need a whole lot of offensive impact from Dante, from your fifth starter. Fourth starter? I don't even know at this point.
Fourth starter. Yeah, I would say fourth.
Yeah, fourth starter. With Brooke, both can be awful.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we saw that. We saw that today. We saw him being horrendous on the offensive end, aside from that one and one, which somehow went in. Reminded me of 17-18. Wow. 18-19?
First year? Yeah, it'd be 18-19. Yeah.
Yeah, 18-19.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is year three.
Yes.
18-19, Brooke, when every single one of those would fall, like inexplicably. Do you remember that? Every single time he got near the basket, like he was going in.
Yeah,
I missed that.
We wanted him in the post more, and now it's like we want him on the bench more. That back down of Looney made me sick. The fact that it worked made me more sick, because now I feel like we're more likely to see it going forward. I think the thing with Dante is, and we've ragged enough on Brooke, I think people know how we feel. The Renaissance was short-lived and fleeting and uneven.
Maybe he just needs like another week off.
Couple months. Potato, couple, potato.
A couple
seasons.
Send some movers to his house.
With Dante, I feel like his role needs to be restricted. Like, I'm sick of seeing the Dante DiVincenzo point guard experiment. This isn't the time for that. Like, we need to tighten up for playoffs now. This is a Giannis year with two other not technical all-stars, but with Chris and Drew on the roster, everybody else. Concerns or not over how good they can be, I just think you need to treat it like we need to go in this year. And that means you can't have Dante doing all this crap that Dante loves to do and the Bucks love to let Dante do. Like, step backs from two like he's done this week? Like, never. Just never. Like, let somebody else do that. Shoot open threes, cut, clean up the glass and put those in. Thrive in the dunker spot. But some of these shots and just his the stuff he tries to do, it's, I know I say it all the time, but like Carson Wentz / Icarus, man, just like trying way too much. And it shouldn't be asked of him. It still is. And that's what concerned me. It carried over to defense on the Korkmaz thing. It's like, just you're doing too much. You don't need to do that. Just stand by him and put your arms up and make it hard. Don't gamble for a steal for no reason. I just feel like that's the Dante experience, is every play is either no, 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 yes, or no, 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 no. And it's just like, it's too risky. Like, I can't live with that volatility in my life.
Yeah, that's just general life advice, I guess. Yeah, this is why I was saying there's an avenue for Jeff Teague to be closing games. But I think this just flows into the general Bud convo we wanted to have. It's wild decision making. It is absolutely wild. But it's also, it's wild decision making, but at the end of the day, it's very simple decision making. It's wild in the sense that how can you have those guys on the court when they've been performing badly all game? But it's simple in the fact that he's like, oh, these are my guys, these are my starters, these are the guys we trust at the end, and so we're just going to play them. Maybe it should be a little more complex than that, you know? Like, yeah. Maybe analyze what's going on in the middle of the game. Like, I don't want to be that guy who's like, oh man, why didn't they think of this? When obviously, people, like, the coaching staff has thought about these things. Like, they're not idiots. Like, as much as we rag out about them, these are NBA coaches technically. So,
technically.
I mean, they are. Yes. Like, these ideas, they come up. Like, they've been discussed. They've been talked about. But nothing is done about it. That's the issue, is that they're aware of these solutions and that they're aware of these problems, but refuse to act on it. Like, what is the harm of putting Brooke Lopez on the bench and putting Bobby Portis out there, who's been ball in this game, and keep in there when the game's on the line? Why not do that? Why not reward the player who has been playing well?
You know, it really makes me think of the Wes Matthews semis thing. Like, and that was even worse because Wes was literally a starter and like so obviously crucial in that specific moment. But like Dante and Pat, of course, playing over him for no real reason and it costing the Bucks the game. And even bigger than that, it cost them Wes Matthews, right? Like, he dipped. He was like, no, I don't want to do this anymore. You're not even going to play me. And, you know, I'm not going to say they lost Bobby Portis tonight. But, you know, if a guy plays really well and then you're like, yeah, you just can't close this game because Brooke Lopez has his contract and, you know, he was here since the year one of this era and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, the guy's going to be like, I'm great. I revitalized my career here. That's awesome. Maybe I'll go somewhere that's going to play me in games when I clearly deserve the run. Like, you're not doing yourselves favors with free agents, which you kind of need to do considering, you know, Drew got the bag. Chris has been had the bag. Money. Giannis got the bag. Like, they can't pay anyone. They can't pay anyone who they don't have bird rights on. They don't have them on Bobby. So you can offer him peanuts and just say, hey, we'll pay you when we get your bird rights, when we can, you know, hint, hint, wink, wink. You can't say that. The Bucks will probably...
Nah, Ty, you just cost the Bucks a draft.
Yeah, the Bucks will probably leak it to Woj because, of course, and lose a 2029 third-round pick. It's going to be a third round by then. But you know, it's an easier sell if Bobby Portis feels like, you know, he has real shot to, you know, continue to grow his role on the team or have a crucial
There's
role
a reason
team.
To play well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you personally get rewarded for playing well.
Yes.
That's how it should work. People call it like the old school mentality. That's what Marcus Johnson was saying at the, I almost said Fox Sports, Bally Sports Wisconsin broadcast.
Oh, I forgot about that. Ugh.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. It'll take some adjusting. He was saying like Steve Kerr's got this old school mentality with James Wiseman where it's like, oh, we're not going to play you 30 minutes a night just because you're, what was he, the number two pick?
Yes.
Yeah, number two overall
yes.
pick.
Edwards, Wiseman, LaMelo. Yeah. Yes.
We're gonna play you what you earn, like in practice and stuff. And he's like, oh, I really appreciate that old school gritty mentality. I don't want to sound like a boomer. I am not a boomer. Like that's not who I am. It's, I don't know, maybe like you should be rewarded for doing things well. Like I feel like that's not insane. It's not an insane concept.
Was that comment a sub at Bud, do you think?
It was not, but it could be.
We don't know it wasn't.
I mean, I do.
We don't know it was, but we don't know it wasn't. I'm just like these guys closing games and just the overall shot down.
Oh, too. I thought you meant my comment.
Oh, no. I meant Marcus's. I meant Marcus's comment, not your comment.
It's like I
Euro
said
step
it,
after
I
dark. Know. No, yeah, no. But in addition to like these decisions on closing games with Bud, and again, it's like I think it's this convo is important because some things have been better. Like I thought the defense on Steph, the idea behind it was quite good. Like they weren't dropping. Like they trapped him. They made him work. Again, he did it, but they did that. Like they've been switching more. Like we're seeing some things improve, but some of the root issues are still just dumb. Like the shot breakdown. So Giannis takes 18.5 per game. Then Chris takes 15.5 and Drew takes just over 13. And then Dante takes 9.5 per game. Dante per game attempts like 4 less shots than Drew Holiday. And Brooke Lopez takes just under 9 a game too. So those two guys are just taking a combined 18 shots per game. Giannis shoots as many times as the worst two starters combined. That just feels like too many shots to me. And maybe the numbers line up and that's how every team is broken down. But just the role that they have, and it's not, again, it would be one thing if it was like, oh, they're taking 9, you know, open catch and shoot threes or open runners when someone closes out or layups, you know, with help defense coming from the side. It's a really good look. They take like difficult shots and there's just no need for it. And I think this has always been a Bucks thing and it feels like it always will be a Bud Bucks thing. There's just not an effort to get the ball flowing into the best player's hands. It's actually the opposite, right? Let it fly. Whoever's existing and feeling the vibes at that moment on offense is now the star. It's how the Bucks play far too often. And it's bad. It's just bad. I don't think it's good. I don't think it's helpful. I don't think the buy-in helps. Like these were all things. It's kind of funny that they played the Warriors in this particular game. Cause I think Kerr has, you know, incurred a lot of these same criticisms and their team sucks this year, even though they have Steph Curry, because like Kelly Oubre and Wiggins are jacking up shots and Steph is off ball way too often and not on ball enough and kind of changed in this game, unfortunately for the Bucks, but it's kind of a similar thing. And I think Kerr skated by for so long because they were just like so good anyway, but all of a sudden, you know, you lose your overwhelming talent advantage. And maybe it's not all working the same. And Kerr, if you look at the coaching in those finals, didn't exactly, you know,
shots
didn't exactly, didn't. Guy would play like 7 centers a game. He wasn't exactly, you know, out coaching anybody he went up against. So I think it's kind
Ron
of
Ron Lue was running circles around him.
yeah, big time. But it's kind of a fun comp with Kerr and Bud. Just Kerr, you know, happened to get to much higher heights, of course. But it's like, maybe it's good if the great players take a lot of shots, Rohan. Maybe that's a good idea. It's hard to say.
Yeah. The thing about Kerr, this is just a quick tangent. He's probably a better coach suited for personality management. like melding of stars, which is why the Warriors were so great during their dynastical run that has now crashed and burned to the ground. Yeah, I'll take pride in that saying
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
it's more difficult to run an extremely high motion offense when you don't have Andre Iguodala and Leandro Barbosa and Sean Livingston and you know Kevin
Barnes.
Durant. Yeah, Harrison Barnes. And when you have Kelly Oubre, Eric Paschal's hurt. We'll say Kent Bazemore, who's probably their best rotational player. So it's a little more difficult to, you know, run that type of offense. Well, with the levels, there was this one quote. I'm surprised the Bucks haven't had any locker room issues. I think that just speaks to Giannis and Chris and how they run this team.
Yeah,
that's been reported out there. There was this one quote earlier in the season where it's like an unnamed Warriors player was talking about Kelly Oubre not wanting to come off the bench. And he said, like, we had Andre Iguodala winning finals MVP coming off the bench. And this Kelly effing Oubre doesn't want to come off the bench.
People are torn if it was Clay or Dre. And I could
it's definitely it. Draymond. It's 100% Draymond.
I think Draymond would have said, no, name me. Like, I think no, Draymond the next day would have been like, it was me. I said that.
That's honestly that's fair. Maybe it was like, imagine it was Steph.
Steph does seem fed up. Steph to MKE. Yes. Draymond fires more shots on like podcasts and media availabilities than he does in games these days. It's rough, yeah. Dude. It's rough. Like just accomplishing nothing. He scored that layup early, and I was like, please don't let this. No, I actually was like, please don't let this change your strategy on defense. Like, let that guy shoot. Like, please, if he wants to, let him and. And he shot, and that was one of the few things that didn't go against the Bucks. He's 3 for 8 in this game with 6 points. Just there's just no need to cover him anymore. It's kind of tough to watch. But let's get back to the Bucks and their issues. We talked about rotations. We talked about shot diet. Our guy Pat. We shouldn't have made that podcast. We should have known what would happen when we made that podcast. It went to his head. It went to Bud's head. Bud is like, oh. Smash the Pat button. He's not the problem. Not good. We even on our closing guy episode, we're like, Pat, fine player. Probably don't need to close games with him. Even down Giannis and PJ, the way this game unfolded, didn't have to close the game with him. It's just the trust in Pat, while admirable. It's not admirable. No, it's not admirable. Like
I think that's just blind faith.
Yeah. And it's one of those where it's like, I feel like people kind of assume I'm pro Pat closing because I just think Pat's an okay player.
We literally, okay. It's also, not, if you guys not. Have these takes about us, literally listen to the podcast.
Yeah. Where we talk like, about everything.
Pat was like our second alternate to be in the closing five. Like he wasn't in there. He wasn't first alternate. He was like second or third.
He's our seventh man in our closing fives.
Yeah.
And that was before PJ Tucker.
Good. Carry on, sir.
No, that's just not who he is. And that's I think that's like the biggest issue aside from, and I don't think it was as bad this game. I mean, the Warriors made a ton, but I didn't know. I mean, the defense was so tilted around Steph and everything. And the Warriors just made some tough threes, but like the biggest Bucks issues on both ends on defense, it's like allowing way too many threes, which again, didn't feel as bad tonight to me. And on offense, it's like, shrug your shoulders, like, whatever. Like, we'll just
also rebounding.
Oh, God.
Chris hasn't boxed out a guy in like a month.
I was going to say 3 years.
Okay, that works too.
And it's like, the issue is, I know the scheme on rebounding is for Brook Lopez to play like Steven Adams and box out and let somebody else get the rebound. One, there's not been enough of that. Like, the Bucks give up so many tip dunks on offensive rebounds. It's not even funny.
And it's mostly Chris.
Definitely mostly Chris. And two, it's like, that's not going to work if nobody actually grabs it. Like, you can't box out and wait for somebody to grab it, and then nobody grabs it. And that actually is the one thing that, like, I can see why you would have Pat out there. I wouldn't do it, but I can see it. That's the one area he will always bring it. Like, he's going to go for rebounds. He and Dante, the two guys we always say, always maximum effort on the boards. And Thanasis. He actually lost one to Steph early in the game that was super inexplicable. I think it was just a badly timed jump. But those three are always going to go full tilt for every board. Giannis is iffy. He motors him in. His rebounding numbers are stupid, but of course he's Giannis. It waxes and wanes. Chris has just been bad, like really bad. And Lopez just doesn't, like, he boxes out one guy and then three more guys coming. Like, just grab the rebound, maybe. Just go get it. Like, and he's not always in position. It's not a Brook Lopez issue, but I don't like that idea of like, oh, our biggest guy will box out and let someone else grab it. Maybe just get it. Maybe just actually.
If you can
get
the ball, maybe get the ball. It's hard to put the ball in the basket when you don't have the ball. Like, I know that's top tier basketball analysis, but like it might be difficult to understand. But I think having the ball is a good idea. Like this is just basics. This is basics. Like, this team needs to tighten up. Because we're seeing how insane the competition is getting. And this team is not, they need to tighten up fast. There's, what did you say, 22 games left in the season?
Yeah, this was game 50.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
It's coming down to the wire, Ty. I said during the extension podcast, is it playoff time yet? Oh my God. And now I'm thinking like, oh my God, it's almost playoff time. Like, one game shouldn't change me this much, but this was just an embarrassing game.
It didn't look like a championship caliber team, that's for sure. I mean, it was embarrassing. They bungled it. So let's look at rebounding. Portis, 13 rebounds tonight. Great, awesome. In 28 minutes, how did he not close this game? Embarrassing. Pat has 8. Dante has 5. Thanasis has 5. The rest of the team combines for 9? Yeah, I think 9 rebounds. Chris has 2, Brook has 3, Drew has 3, Teague has 1. That's just not enough rebounds from so many of these players. Like, basically, we'll say Portis was the 4, so he clearly did his job. One of your other forwards and your center, who played a ton of minutes, Chris played 37, Brook played 33, combined for 5 rebounds in like 70 minutes of basketball. That's just not good enough. Like, individual rebounding numbers, I'm not that DPOY voter. Like, I'm not voting Andre Drummond DPOY, but 5 rebounds between 3 or 2 of your 3 front court players and the only 2 of those 3 that you actually close the game with, you just can't. Like, that you need to be able to grab some rebounds. The Bucks love giving up these needless second chance points. And it's what we just said about the championship caliber and like what they look like. You can't be doing that kind of thing. Like, that's the difference between winning and losing a game and thus a series. And the Bucks are just so lackadaisical about it. It drives me crazy.
Yeah, it's an effort thing. It really is. Like, I've said this before, energy and effort is good. It's necessary. It's necessary, but not sufficient. If you want to go into like, what's that theory called? I should know this, but I can't remember.
I don't know. It's too late at night for me to know theories.
Yeah. I learned this. I should know this. Whatever. it's like you need it. You need it, but it can't be your entire scheme, which is the problem with the previous regime. it's still needed though. Like,
yeah,
you still need to play with energy and effort. That's why Thanasis has carved out a role for himself, and he's actually like built on that and been a very good. He's been a good player.
We staggered the positives. After you finish this point, I want to talk about Thanasis.
Yeah, so you need, like, I feel like I keep harping on Chris here. But I feel like he's the one that's the victim of this the most often. Like, he just loses the track of his guy. He just plays like sort of floating around. That's the term you've been using. He just floats around and he's just there. He's not actively participating in getting team stats like rebounds. It's just like rebounding is not really an individual statistic anymore. It should probably be viewed as more of a team statistic. And he's not contributing to the team statistic. And that's just, it's poor.
Yeah, the Warriors had 12 offensive rebounds in this game. And I think
that's unacceptable.
I think they're one of the worst rebounding teams in the NBA. Yep. And Wiseman, I think he set his rebounding career high in this game, or he had his third ever double-double and he had it by halftime. Third double-double through 50 games of the season. I know he hasn't played all of them, but still, it's unacceptable. You just can't do it. But the Bucks did it, and because of it, they lost the game.
Okay. Yeah. Let's get into some positives. The Nassus.
Oh my goodness. Like,
maybe he should have closed the game.
I tweeted, like, him or Portis in for Lopez the last 8 minutes, I think they win the game. All the gas in there. Because those guys would have added something. Rebounding, shot making, anything. Something.
Off the dribble.
Thanasis was fifth in scoring in this game for the Bucks. Like, scored more than Lopez, more than DiVincenzo. He made all four of his shots. I think three dunks, right?
Yep, three dunks. He was 2 of 3 from the free throw line, and that one miss was after just getting rattled in the head. He didn't look.
Should have been a flagrant.
Honestly, like, he's probably getting evaluated for a concussion as we speak.
Yeah, he took a knock, but 5 rebounds in 20 minutes, 1 assist, no turnovers, 2 fouls, plus four for Thanasis. Finishing those dunks with aggression. And I gotta say, the pump fake to get, I think it was Damian Lee, off his feet, and then like he went and slammed it. That was like a real big man move. I like to see that kind of.
Yeah, he power dribbled. Like, yes. What is going on?
Yes, he's like looked like an old school center out there. I was like, okay, Thanasis.
Yeah, as that play was unfolding, I was like, oh, this would be a good way to go about doing this. And then he did it, and I was like, oh my god,
he's that crafty was, that around the perfect. Rim.
He probably could have gotten an and-one on that as well.
Probably. Yeah. Well. Yeah. The issue is, I think. For a player like him from free throw, take the sure dunk over the chance at an and one every single time.
No, like, as the play happened. Like,
oh, kind of like, try to get both. Yeah.
Yeah. It's risky. No, like, the play that resulted probably should have been called for a foul.
Oh, yeah. I see what you mean. Yeah. I could see that. But it's the Nassus, so it didn't.
He did get another and one earlier on a nice backdoor cut, which Chris found him on for a reverse layup and one, which is pretty.
That was beautiful. A question I've seen posed now, I think in our Discord first, shouts to the Eurogroup Discord, is Thanasis the best dunker spot player on the team?
By far, without question.
I think so too. You know what I was thinking in this game? If he got that 3-point shot down, he would be like a really good stretch four on this team. Like a really good stretch four on this team. He's running out of stuff he can't do. Like, the list is getting shorter. I've made the list today.
I mean, he did have a game where he went 4, 5, and 3.
It's clearly a work in progress. Like, good defender, on ball and off ball. Good defensive communicator. Good cutter. Good dunker spot guy. Great bench celebrations. It's eerily Giannis-esque.
You might witness a murder on a basketball court that's maybe not murder, just manslaughter because it's unintentional.
Yeah, or intentional. naked aggression, he can do that too. Just the 3-point shot is the one thing. Like, if I'm Thanasis, like, this summer, corner threes all day long. I don't even know if he has to work on the other stuff. You know it's there. I don't think that stuff is leaving him. Get that corner three down.
Simmons. Like, what does Ben Simmons, like, one of the greatest tweets I've ever seen is, what does Ben Simmons practice? Like, what does he throw, like, behind the back passes?
Yeah, right. Yeah, just like dribbling a ball down the open floor and then passing it. they said he could be honest. He's averaging like 14 points per game with him beat out. Anyway, but Thanasis, get in the lab with PJ Tucker for like 3 months and just be like, dude, show me exactly what you do. The outline is there for the post PJ Tucker for Thanasis. And hopefully PJ is around for a couple of years, but there's a lot there. There's a lot to like. I feel like he's really refining the edges on a lot of his game. Offense, like doing anything besides cutting and being right by the basket is still such a huge question mark. But if
he faked the handoff and went reverse on the baseline for a jail, I stood out of my seat. I was like, what on earth did I just see? That was Giannis-esque.
It was. His explosiveness was on display. Like, he is a ridiculous, freaky athlete, so to speak.
Yeah, no, it's God-tier genes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And hard work.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. That was, I think I floated that in the Discord too. Like, you know, is he a shot away from being like the ideal stretch four? And I forget who it was, but somebody was like, I wouldn't bet against that guy's work ethic. And I was like, yeah, I wouldn't either. I wouldn't either. He made himself a real NBA player.
Like, compare his film last year, like the 5 minutes total of film there was last year
to
this year. It's insane. He's improved so, so much. Credit to him.
He is. If Pat's shooting calms down, I think Thanasis might be better.
He might be.
Like, I think it's the shooting. Tweeted,
right? Like, is if Thanasis gets his shot down, Pat's useless?
Yeah, there's like, there's nothing left, because then there's nothing he would do better than Thanasis. That's the one thing right now that he does better, right? Like, everything that Pat offers otherwise, Thanasis rivals, is like matches or exceeds.
However, would Thanasis have taken that three attempt? That Drew Holiday ended up putting back in to put them up to. He wouldn't have taken that three.
Probably would have just dunked it, man.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Maybe not taking the three is good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that worked out for the Bucks in the end, but yes. No, yeah, it's, yeah, he certainly, I think on that last play of the game, the Chris terrible block shot, Thanasis would have either gotten called for an illegal screen, getting Wiggins the hell out of the way, or the shot goes off clean. Those were the two options. Or he
would have put back, dunked it from that angle.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I guess he's like falling down on his back. He would have just exploded to the basket.
I feel like this is such a risky thing, given how tenuous so much of his tape is still in his NBA career. But it's just been good lately, and I'm glad at least one player who has looked good has gotten more chances as a result. At least that much has happened, but
on the whole, spread that, bud.
Yeah, like take that to crank that idea up to 11. Like Bobby Portis,
play your good players.
Bobby Portis, man.
If someone's playing well, play them. Maybe close games with them. If someone's not playing well, maybe don't close games with them.
Pat counted in 25 minutes, led the bench, 1 for 6 from the field. 8 rebounds. I will die on this hill. The rebounding is legitimately that good, but Thanasis is right there and was doing everything else better. And I'm not saying Thanasis was the play there, especially if you're going to keep Brook in. Like, you kind of need some shooting. But Pat also was offering 0 from 3 as evidence. Yeah, so,
Thanasis can play center.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he can't. Yeah, just a frustrating, and just like so many things that we've seen forever that just like bubble up, like frustrations below the surface, but they weren't below in that game.
They were fully on display, and we saw the
old word. Faithful.
We've been doing this for a little bit now. I cannot believe they lost that game.
Just disgraceful. Really.
Inexcusable. Like, disgraceful. Inexcusable.
People stayed up until like midnight central to watch that. Like thousands of people who are now all listening to this podcast. Thank you. If you know of anyone who was up watching the game who isn't listening, make sure they are. Slide into the DM. Send the link. But these people, good, hardworking Wisconsinites and others, deserve better basketball than this.
And that this is why I am running.
It's an election day. I hope everyone voted. It's an election day. Is where yesterday, technically now, as we record, it was an election day. I finally got a sticker. I hadn't gotten a sticker
The
last several elections, but I did this time. It's just disheartening. Very disheartening result. I didn't care for it. Again, we always try to break down everything in specific. So like some good things. Mainly like players you probably don't expect to close playoff games, which is makes it less good overall long term. But Teague, Thanasis, and Portis, good, really good.
I mean, you don't expect them to do it until they do it.
Budenholzer.
That made sense in my head.
No, I know what you mean there. I know the concept. I will say, I guess just a silver lining, like the shot making was really good at times from Chris. Especially Chris. I mean, Drew, we've known. Like, he's been doing this stuff all year. It was nice to see Chris do it, even just for, like, a quarter mainly, that he really was, like, firing off.
Tough shot express.
Just do it more. Just do it more. Like, I'll never forget this possession as long as I live, or at least until I go to sleep tonight. He's got Steph Curry on him beyond the three-point line, and he passes out of it, and, like, early in the shot clock, to Brooke Lopez, who runs a DHO with Dante DiVincenzo. And I don't remember. I'm sure they didn't score, because why would a Brooke Lopez, Dante DiVincenzo DHO with a lot of time on the clock result in points ever? Spoiler, usually doesn't. But it's just like, why do that? Like, have Brooke screen for you, or just take Steph Curry, post up Steph Curry, do a billion other things, but not that one.
That reminds me, it's funny you mentioned that, because there was a play during the game where Steph Curry got the ball on off a rebound. Like, he rebounded the ball. He was bringing it up the court. He just dribbles into the left wing and he just stands in the corner and he gives it to Andrew Wiggins. So him and Kelly Oubre can run a little two-man game. No, it wasn't. It was him and Wiseman. It was Wiggins and Wiseman. I was like, that's what you're doing? Like, and then I realized, that's what the Bucks are doing.
Yeah, it was very Bucks.
This was a masterclass, Kerr versus Bud, where you have Kelly Oubre and Pat Connaughton taking clutch shots for you. Just incredible.
Incredible is a word.
Yep. Oh, man. Okay. Do we have any other things on this game, or do you want to touch on Giannis a bit?
Let's talk about, do we have any other Bud stuff overall too? I don't think so.
You mentioned this a bit when we first started the conversation. He's been doing a lot of good stuff. We just sort of breezed past that. He has been. He really has been. This was not the greatest game to really showcase all that. There were opportunities where you could have gone to things you've been working on. Like, this would have been a perfect opportunity to go on like a zone defense plus a trap. Like, that would be incredible, because what they were doing when Steph Curry was getting trapped is he was doing classic Steph Curry things and just relocating and getting the ball later in the possession. If you just zone trap, that solves that issue realistically.
Well, plus it was like the Warriors weren't just shooting when he passed out of the doubles. Like, almost every single time, instead of him just like passing to somebody behind the arc who shot, the player whose guy doubled like cut into the lane for the easy 4-on-3, and the Bucks usually, they weren't always equipped to handle that. So the zone helps there too. And just like, you're cutting into like a wall of bodies, which is, as Giannis has discovered over multiple years, it's not always that easy to do. It's probably even harder for Kelly Oubre than it is for Giannis. But I think it's fair that we overshadowed some of the good stuff that Bud has done, because like, that's how this game worked. Like, that's what's top of mind, is some of these nice tweaks are overshadowed by just philosophies and trends that have been throughout his tenure that just aren't good enough. And that happened again. Surprise.
Yeah. Hey, maybe there's a reason Darvin Ham didn't take the Texas Tech job.
He's looking for an opportunity.
He is, and more than deserving.
Yeah. Bucks are otherwise.
Shouts to Darvin Ham. Know your worth. Know your worth. He could easily get a college head coaching gig, but he knows he can get an NBA head coaching gig, whether it's with the Bucks or someone else. I guarantee you he is not going to be an assistant coach after the season.
No. The Bud tree has been frustratingly really good.
Yeah, Taylor Jenkins, Kenny Atkinson.
Yeah.
He's an assistant in somewhere.
Clippers?
Sure.
Clippers, I think.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And he was decent as a rebuilding coach.
Yeah. We don't have to get into Kenny. Let's talk about Giannis.
Yep. So Giannis missed his second straight game. He was listed as probable leading up to this game, after missing the game against the Kings on whatever day that was. Why am I trying?
I don't know. It was Friday or Saturday, right?
Saturday.
Maybe. Okay.
Yeah, Friday was the...
Portland?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he missed the Kings game, and he was listed as probable on the injury reports leading up to this game against the Warriors, and he ended up not playing. It was said that he sort of felt it in warmups, and they were just like, it's a late scratch. He's feeling a little bit of the knee soreness. I'm not overly concerned. I actually think this is probably a good thing. Just get him the rest that he needs. Just don't take any chances whatsoever. Make sure Giannis is good. That's priority number one. Forever and always, as a Milwaukee Bucks franchise, make sure Giannis is good.
Yeah.
So, get him all the rest he needs. Make sure his knee is not compromised while you're trying to play in through game. Because at the end of the day, even though this game did bother me a lot, it's still a regular season game. It's game 50. Like, sure, it's one game and it exemplified a lot of problems, but at the end of the day, the game itself like the win loss does not really matter that much. You could say the context of the one seed.
It doesn't matter as much as Giannis's long-term
health. Yeah. Exactly. Like you take Giannis's health every single day over this one game against a G League team. Like that you should have won anyway.
Yeah, I was gonna say that they lost to.
Yeah. G League team plus two-time MVP.
Yeah. Unanimous. I have no issue with resting him at all. I think always be safe. Or was it the Boston game? I think is the one that people are pointing back to now. It's like, why did he play in that game? Because there was some soreness before that too. And we've mentioned on here, that's been a regular Giannis thing over the last few years. Knee tendonitis or knee soreness or whatever. He'll miss a game here or there. I mean, knock on all the wood, he's been really, really healthy for an explosive 7-footer who's gained 50 pounds of muscle since his rookie year. So a game here or there to maintain that is a very low cost in perspective. But I really hope there wasn't a question like, should he play, should he not play in that Boston game? And then they decided to play him. And I know it's tough because
Giannis wants to play every single game,
which doesn't make it easier. But I hope not. I hope that's not the case as well. I hope we're not in Sixers territory of terrible injury luck / conditions.
They almost killed poor Zaire Smith, man.
Poor guy. I watched him in Oshkosh after that. Didn't really look the same. Give him all the time he needs, though. You have to. And that's just always how I'm going to come down on this kind of thing. Like, always play it safe. Unless it's like literally game 7 of the finals. But this is not that at all. It's not even close. And yeah, I think it's good that
didn't play him in a closeout game in the playoffs, like in the bubble.
Yeah.
Like we saw that. Like they'll hold him out of playoff games.
Yeah, I mean, a closeout game when they were down 3-1, but yes.
No, they were down 3-0 at that point. They won.
Sorry. Yeah, yeah. Well, I thought you played in that one and then didn't play in the last one. Do I have it backwards?
I might have it backwards.
I think they pulled him for part of it, and then he tried to come back and then didn't play.
I think
that's
how
it went. We're not going to do a binge the Bucks of the bubble playoffs, but
I don't think anyone wants that.
No, I don't think so either.
I don't want that.
Mickey Mouse title doesn't deserve the magnifying glass. Yeah, I think it was the right call. We hope there's nothing long term. The fact that he was probable before this game makes it feel to me that it's just more kind of lingering soreness, and giving him a couple days. Hopefully, we'll get everything back to normal.
It's like you should win this game anyway sort of thing, which they didn't.
Yeah.
They didn't win.
It's frustrating. But we don't have any real news or insight on Giannis besides keep him healthy no matter what. It doesn't seem like it's going to be long term at this point, but if he has to skip the Mavs game and they have to, you know, get blown out by Luka, fine. A healthy Giannis is worth more embarrassment.
Future Buck Luka Doncic.
A lot of future Bucks on the schedule right now.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, this helps Steph case be like, oh man, I could take this team over the top, you know, like Luka as well. We'll see what happens there.
Maybe both.
I don't know, man. They took a second round pick away from the Bucks for tampering with their own player. Like, or not, no, not tampering with their own player, for finding no evidence of tampering. Yeah. So I don't know if the NBA would close its doors before they let that happen. They're like, nope, sorry, we're turning into the XFL or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, good point.
We can dream, though. We had to deal with this for a long time, so we can dream.
I think I'm in a nightmare after I pass out after this episode.
Yeah. So on that note, we should probably wrap this up here. Shouts to us, Ty. Shouts to us. It is nearly 1 a.m. We recorded this after the Mavs game. Mavs game, wow. After the Warriors game. We are not living in the future. It is the last time we have to do this season, which is just absolutely magical. Because it's a grind, but we do it for you all out there.
Last
hopefully you appreciate that.
Start. If Thank
you do
God. Sorry.
Yes. If you do appreciate that, show your support. Make sure you leave a rating on Apple and subscribe on your podcast platform of choice. Tell your friends and family about the show. We deserve this. You do it for us, guys. Just come on. Show your support. Thank you for listening as always. Please stay safe, everyone. And we will talk to you next time.